ghost, Raven added, before they both stepped out on the floor and headed toward their apartment. I hate them bitches, she said to herself. Luckily for them, she had other shit to deal with. She pressed the button leading to downstairs and looked up at the ceiling. Since Della almost caught her with the pitcher of Knox in her hand, she used it as a moment to talk to the dead. I know what you're trying to do, Knox. I love Slade, and no one will ever find out what I did to you. Do you hear me? Never. When the elevator rocked a little, like it was jammed, her eyes flew open. Now she wished she hadn't made the comment. It wasn't until the door unlatched and she was looking at the door leading outside that she was able to breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, too much was going on. First, she had to find out where Eleanor was located and eliminate her before she ratted her out. Then she had to find the mystery boy who delivered the pitcher. The moment she stepped outside and into the night air, she was approached. Farrah, let me holler at you for a minute. She knew exactly who he was. His voice was steady and immediately inserted fear into her. The voice belonged to Knight, Rhonda's fiancé, and also the father of their dead baby. She knew he would never believe her if she told him that the fight she got into with Shannon at Rhonda's baby shower, which resulted in her going into early labor, was not her fault. But in her mind, she was telling the truth. Shannon thought it would be cute to roll in with coconut and spray perfume in Farrah's face, which temporarily blinded her. To make matters worse, Shannon had walked up to her and said, "Bitch, that's why I got something you want, and his name was Slade Baker." Farrah snapped, and when it was all said and done, she slapped Shannon so hard that her heel broke and Rhonda had to be rushed to the hospital. And there Farrah was, looking into the eyes of an angry, emotionally mutilated father. His brown leather coat was soiled with dried vomit, and he was visibly drunk. As despondent as he appeared, it didn't take away from his sleepy eyes and heavy sex appeal. She was just about to greet him when she noticed something else. He had a bottle of beer in his right hand and a gun in his left. "You're just the bitch I wanted to see," he said, waving her his way with the barrel of the nine. "Come here, Farrah. I gotta rap to you for a second." Farrah paused with fear. "Knight, what you doing here? Should you be in the hospital?" "I'm where I should be, right here." She eyed the weapon again. When he saw she was about to bounce, he caught up with her. Standing over her, he said, "What happened the other day, at the baby shower you threw for Rhonda?" He was now in her breathing space, and the smell of beer and Burberry men's cologne made her nauseous. "Don't break out in the hives, Farrah. Don't break out in the hives." "What you talking about?" "Bitch, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. How did she end up hitting her head on the edge of your living room table? They telling me you did that shit on purpose. And I'm not understanding if that's true or not." "It's not true." "Why would you do something like that, Farrah?" he asked, ignoring her denial. "I heard you were a sneaky bitch, but would have never thought you would go this far." "I don't know what you're talking about, Knight." There was no reasoning with him, and she could tell he was about to get violent. "But I really gotta go somewhere right now. Can I talk to you, slut? Anything you got to do ain't more important than what's happening now. There wasn't anything I wanted to be more than a father. You took that from me. You took that from both of us." He laughed crazily. Surely, you can spare a few minutes to tell me why my life is changed because of you. Knight, please, give me a few hours, and maybe we can grab some coffee and stuff like that. She looked at the gun. Okay, but don't do anything right now that you'll regret later. I'm begging you.
Who said I will regret it?
Knight, please, give me one reason why I shouldn't pull the trigger. He raised the barrel of his gun and pointed it at her face. All I want is one. Farrah wished somebody would come outside and save her now. Slade would be great, but her brother Shadow or her sister Mia would help too. But when she looked back at the building's door, it was evident that she was alone.
You shouldn't pull the trigger, because I care about Rhonda.
She wept.
And I never meant to hurt her.
Although the gun was still trained on her, he took a swig of beer with his other hand. And when he did, she shoved him backward and took off running. She heard the bottle of beer crash to the ground. And when she looked back, he was on the concrete too. Luckily, his inebriation left her with time to fly for her life. Before he could rise to his feet, she was history. Now in her Benz, and halfway down the street, she finally felt safe. Her car, which needed repairs, made loud clanking noises on the way down the street. At least it drove. Scanning her rearview mirror, she saw him run into the street and throw a piece of glass at her, but she was nowhere close. All the stress made her thirsty. She wanted blood, fresh blood, but now was not the time. Farrah, you gotta do what you gotta do to protect yourself. You see how people trying to kill you? Whew, she said to herself. It's you against the world. When her phone rang, she started not to answer until she saw the correctional center on the caller ID. It was Asher, the man she knew as Daddy, despite not being blood related, and also the man who, she was sure, had no idea that she was not his biological daughter. A secret her trifling-ass mother took to her grave.
How you doing, Daddy?
I'm great, baby girl,
he said cheerfully.
The real question is, how is my red baby doing? I know good, so I'm not even worried about it.
She could tell by the sound of his voice that he was ignorant of what was happening to their family. He doesn't know mommy's dead, she thought, or that Chloe's missing. She knew one thing, and that was that she was not going to be the bearer of bad news. Besides, she had enough crosses to bear.
I'm fine, but I can't talk right now, Daddy. I just wanted to tell you that I love you.
Okay, but before you hang up, I wanted to tell you that a friend of yours is in here with me. I think he said his name is Tank or something like that.
The brakes made a screeching noise, because after hearing Tank's name, Farrah pressed on her brakes so hard, she almost crashed into the car ahead of her. Randy told her that Tank was in jail with Asher, but so much happened that she forgot to analyze exactly what it meant. At the end of the day, a man she wronged was in jail with a man she loved with everything.
Daddy, listen to me. He is not your friend, okay? Please be careful and do not trust him. I don't care what he tells you.
Silence. When he didn't answer, she observed the cell to be sure the call hadn't dropped.
Daddy, are you there?
Yes, Red Baby, he said softly. I got what you telling me.
She could tell he was in an entirely different mood now.
But I gotta go, Daddy. I wish I could talk longer, but life is in a hurry over here. I love you.
She hung up before he disputed. Three names were on her mind at the moment, and they were Eleanor, Chloe, and Slade. She was not trying to waste time thinking about Tank or Randy. When she made it to Eleanor McClendon's complex, she tried to come up with a plan to convince her to allow her into her apartment. The idea was to murder her in private. She was devising a plan of action when, surprisingly, she saw Eleanor exiting her building. Eleanor's white skin was kissed with too much red blush, green eyeshadow, and pink lipstick. She resembled a clown more than a woman of the night. Eleanor was clueless that Farrah had her in her sights, and she hustled down the block with her black raincoat wide open, revealing what she was for sale to the lowest bidder.
I finally got you now, bitch, Farrah said,
following her slowly in her car.
I'm sorry I gotta do this, but it's either me or you. I hope you understand.
Whether she did or didn't was of no consequence to Farrah. She was just talking shit. Eleanor was in a world of her own until she turned around and saw the eyes of a red bone veering in her direction. She felt off balance as she looked for something to hold on to for support. The day she dreaded ever since Farrah and Slade infiltrated her place and forced what she knew about Knox's whereabouts out of her, had finally arrived. Farrah wanted to kill her, and she knew it. The moment their eyes met, Farrah slammed her car alongside the curb, jumped out, and charged in her direction. Eleanor may have been old, but slow, she wasn't. She caught wheels as she pushed toward the wind in an effort to save her life. Eleanor was already making promises to God if he let her survive. First, she'd get clean and never press the stem of a needle into her pussy again, just to get high. Then she'd reach out to her son and apologize for all the things she'd done wrong to him. But first, for reasons she couldn't decipher, she had to deal with the fact that Farrah Cotton was trying to catch her. Farrah hadn't expected Eleanor to be so quick when she first pursued her. She was already out of breath. But when she looked at the tail of Eleanor's raincoat, flapping in the wind, she couldn't see any signs of her reducing speed. She was relentless, and Farrah had to catch up quick if she wanted to win the race. After a few blocks, Farrah was finally gaining on her, until Eleanor dipped around a corner and ran directly into a cop and his partner. Since they were leaning on a fence smoking cigarettes, it was obvious that they weren't DC's finest.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
the black cop said, with his hands up in the air. Normally, we have to run after you, Eleanor. You must be some kind of scared if you're turning yourself into us, he joked.
Somebody's trying to...
She was trying to catch her breath, but it was difficult. She leaned on the fence and kept looking behind herself in fear.
Talk slower. We can barely understand you.
The Spanish cop with him responded as he dropped his cigarette and smashed it under his worn-out work boot. He eyed Farrah suspiciously when she came into view. She stood behind Eleanor like an abusive boyfriend, waiting for the right moment to smack all the shit out of her. When Eleanor didn't respond, the cop asked Farrah,
Can we help you with something, young lady?
She tried to find something to do with her hands, but they fluttered about her like loose flags.
I'm lost, and I saw you officers over here, so I came to get directions.
Well, where are you going? The Spanish cop asked.
Maybe we can help you get there.
No, you can't!
She screamed, way louder than she wanted. Both of the cop's hands hovered over their weapons. Something about her seemed dangerous.
I mean, I can find my own way. Now.
She looked at Eleanor and tried to think of something she could say to get her to come with her. But Eleanor was shaking harder than a washer on the spin cycle.
So let me get this straight. You not lost,
the Spanish cop reminded her, before eyeing Eleanor's rocky stance.
"You know this girl, Clapper?"
he asked, trying to do his job for the first time all day.
"If something is up, you can tell us now."
Although he didn't respect Eleanor's hustle, at least he knew where she was coming from. But the fine red bone before him, he couldn't be sure of. Something in her eyes was pure evil.
"We're friends," Farrah interjected. "I've been knowing her for a long time and was coming over to talk to her about something private. She didn't know who I was at first and got scared. But she knows me now. Ain't that right, Eleanor?"
Silence.
"Is that true, Eleanor?"
the black cop asked.
"Because you can say the word, and we can get this taken care of right now."
Eleanor looked behind her at Farrah. She didn't want to spark up more shit than the neighborhood could stand. So she searched Farrah's eyes, searched them for the hope that she would leave her alone if she didn't tell the cops that she was gunning for her. In seconds, Farrah non-verbally gave her the answer she needed. Chapter 4. Slade.
"Them niggas not gonna ask questions. They all about the killing."
Slade's head was heavy and his throat dry as he plodded toward the kitchen where Mia and Shadow were. Like everybody else, they were waiting for the verdict. Would Farrah return with Eleanor or not? The moment Slade walked up to them, Shadow grimaced. Shadow was eating an apple, and upon seeing Slade's face, he tossed it in the trash. Ignoring Shadow, he asked Mia,
"Can I have something to drink?"
His country accent was all Shadow needed to get ignorant.
"Yeah, if you go to your country-ass crib and get it, all the drinks over here for family and friends, not traitors. I know you're upset, man, and I am too. But if you call me a traitor again, the way I feel right now, I'm not sure how I might react."
Slade looked square into Shadow's eyes, so he'd know he was serious.
"Shadow, why don't you go roll that thing up in my room?" Mia said, trying to cool things off.
Normally she was stingy with her smoke, but if she had to share a little to ease the tension, then she'd take one for the team. Mia was thinking about unwanted repercussions. Shadow was on paper, having just been released from prison, and she saw Slade kill a man with his bare hands. If they fought, either way you looked at it, there would be a problem.
"Whatever the fuck,"
Shadow said softly, so that Elise wouldn't hear him cursing.
"If you want to pull, come back there."
He looked at Slade, "'cause I ain't sharing." Mia shook her head when he disappeared into the back of the apartment. Slade stood in front of her like he was waiting for something.
"Your girlfriend not here. You can get yourself something out of the refrigerator if you're thirsty."
Slade walked to the refrigerator and pulled it open. When he did, the handle came off in his hands.
"Fuck,"
he yelled, holding the large silver grip.
"I'm so sorry about this shit." "Hold up. Did you just break the refrigerator?"
Mia asked, astonished. Slade, never really knowing his strength, said,
"Yeah, sometimes I'm a little too rough for my own good."
He put the handle on the counter and took out his wallet.
"Plus, I got a lot on my mind."
He set $700 on the counter.
"If that's not enough, let me know."
He went to the fridge in another attempt to open it, until Mia stood in front of him.
"I'll get it. You sit down."
Before he took a seat on one of the flimsy bar chairs, she said,
"On second thought, just stand."
She opened the fridge on the side and handed him a bottle of water.
"I was hoping for something a little harder,"
he said, placing it on the counter. She laughed and nodded at her grandmother, who was in the living room talking to Major, instead of Della, for whatever reason.
I don't pull out stuff when she's in the house. She nags too much. Wow. I guess I came up different. My mother prefers us to have a stiff one if we going through it. Slade looked exhausted.
On second thought, I'll hook you up. Just tell me if my grandmother walks over here.
Slade stood on guard, using the counters to hide. She made him a stiff drink, lots of vodka.
Here you go.
Thanks.
He drank it all and then sipped on the water.
Oh, I needed that shit.
When they leave, we have to talk about Chloe and audio. I need whatever has to be done so we can get her back. Between her going missing and my mother getting murdered, I don't know how I'm still standing.
I really am sorry to hear about your mother. You know what happened yet?
No.
She sighed.
I don't know anything because we had to jump right into this. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm mad at your brother about all of this. He had no right going through our shit.
But look what he found, Slade said. Knox's phone.
Mia couldn't deny that he had made a good point.
Yeah, but Farrah would have told you about the phone once she had a chance to look through it. All this shit came at a bad time, Slade. I think that's why my brother threw him out of the house earlier.
Killa looked like he had someplace else to be anyway, Slade said, remembering how he kept looking at his phone and going back and forth over to Marquis's house.
And try not to worry so much about Chloe, because we all over that shit.
He paused, looking into her eyes.
We gonna bring them both back safe.
He shook his head.
I'm just worried about Farrah.
She's gonna be fine, Mia told him.
Just as long as she has you when it's all said and done.
He looked at her.
Whether we're together or not, I'm gonna always protect her, he responded. But if she lies to me about anything, I'm not sure about the relationship. I hope you could understand that.
She's not lying to you,
Mia responded.
Then we'll always be,
he said. When Elise yelled to Shadow in the bedroom and asked him to call Chloe to see where she was, Mia shook her head.
You know we can't even discuss Chloe right now because my grandmother will flip, she whispered. She thinks Chloe is out in the streets. If she thought anything else, oh, she would lose it.
She'll be back home before she knows a thing.
Slade was about to go to the bathroom until he saw his mother on the phone by the large window. He knew her all of his life and can tell by the way her body stiffened that she was up to something. Slade placed his water bottle on the table.
Excuse me, Mia.
He ambled toward Della until only she could hear him.
What you doing, Ma?
Della placed the phone into her pocket and rested her cane.
I don't want to lie to you, son.
She looked into his eyes. So don't make me.
Please say you ain't call them.
Slade shook his head.
You know how they are, Ma. Them niggas not gonna ask questions. They all about killing.
She placed her hand on her son's.
Since y'all been here, I've lost everything, Slade. I don't feel like being patient anymore. I want my babies home.
She placed her hand on her chest, and for the first time in ages, she didn't appear strong. And I want Knox and audio home like yesterday. If I have to call on your cousins to make that happen, and they have to murder everybody in the process, then so be it. When there was a knock at the door, everyone rushed to it, thinking it was Farrah. Chapter 5. Farrah.
I'm the one who didn't like violence, remember?
Farrah stood outside of her own apartment, watching the door grow smaller and then larger repeatedly. Her mind was fucking with her. Her body shivered. Her skin was wet with sweat and inflamed from the hives. From the outside of the door, she could hear voices and imagined that everyone was saying bad things about her. She wanted them gone. Then again, she wanted a lot of things. She wanted her sister back. She wanted Slade to love her. And she wanted Eleanor dead. She was realizing she rarely got anything she wanted. Before she left, her orders were simple. Bring back Eleanor McClendon. She was so close to getting her hands on her that she could smell the dirt in her hair. But nobody wanted to hear how she almost succeeded. It was about the results. Farrah's mind went back to how she lost her. It was after she lied to the cops and said they were friends. Eleanor had looked into her deceitful eyes, turned back around to the cops and asked, "Can you walk me home?" They obliged, and the rest was history. Farrah smoothed the loose tentacles of her long hair, sighed, and opened the door. Immediately, everyone rushed to her like a wave on a beach. Della Parker led the pack, while everyone else stood behind her. "Where is she?" Her eyes peered over Farrah's shoulders and landed on the closed door. "You said you were bringing her back. So what happened?" There were so many people crowding Farrah that she couldn't breathe. She searched the crowd for Slade. Where was he? She needed to see how much damage they'd done to his mind since she'd been gone. But she couldn't see him. She would be able to tell if only she could see his eyes.
"I went over there."
Farrah held her head down.
"And Eleanor wasn't home."
They sighed and walked away. Everyone except Della. When the crowd broke, Farrah could finally see Slade leaned against the wall. His face was as blank as a white piece of paper. Emotionless. Bland.
"Do you still love me?"
she wondered.
"What you mean she wasn't home?"
Della asked, breaking her stare.
"Did you check around the neighborhood?"
Mia stepped next to Farrah.
"What you want my sister to do? Pull the woman from her asshole? If she says she's not there, it means she not there. Can't you see she's upset?"
"We all got emotions." Della looked around the apartment. "Look at the faces of everyone here. Everybody present has feelings. What makes hers any different?"
"I don't know what else going on with this Eleanor person," Lee said,
pushing herself into the conversation.
"But somebody better start telling me something."
"Grandma, not right now," Mia said softly.
"Yes, right now. What is going on in this apartment? And why is everyone deliberately holding things back from me?"
Elise looked at Mia, Shadow, and Farrah.
"And where the fuck is Chloe? It's after midnight."
Shadow stepped up. "Grandma, come with me to Farrah's room. I want to put you up on some things."
"Okay."
When she didn't move, he said, "Grams, please." Reluctantly, Elise disappeared with him, and Farrah and Mia exhaled. Whew. Focusing back on Della, Mia continued to take control.
"My sister Chloe has gone. My mother just died. Not to mention, no one has told my grandmother the details. The last thing we need right now is this shit."
There was a slight arguing among everyone when, through the crowd, Farrah saw Coconut sitting on her sofa and going through her phone like shit was still sweet between them. Like Coconut didn't come into her house with an arch enemy yesterday to attend Rhonda's baby shower. What was the traitor doing in her house? Half of Farrah's problems of the day were attributed to Coconut. Had Coconut never brought Shannon with her to the shower, resulting in Rhonda losing the baby, Knight would not have tried to take her life. Mia, easily deciphering what caused Farrah to turn a shade of blue, said,
"Let me talk to my sister for a moment in private."
"Make it quick. We have things to talk about. Della gave Farah one last look before slogging back over to the couch. When Della walked away, Farah focused on her ex-friend sitting on her sofa. Even though Farah hated her guts, there was no denying that Coconut was strikingly beautiful. Her golden-streaked hair fell over her shoulders, and her legs were crossed as she looked up at everyone from the sofa. They seemed to be entranced by what Coconut was saying. Was she telling them any of her personal business? Was she trying to fuck Slade? Or maybe she was there for Shannon to get Slade back. Farah observed Slade, the way he focused on Coconut as she spoke. In Farah's opinion, he was looking too hard at Coconut. Farah's wild thoughts kicked up another level when she considered how flushed she probably looked.
She's prettier than me.
Much prettier.
He's gonna run off with her. Mm-hmm. Have a few babies. Maybe even buy a house and get married.
You're a sexy bitch, Slade said to Coconut.
I can't wait to make you my wife.
Farah was about to step to both of them when Mia grabbed Farah softly by her arm and whisked her into the kitchen.
What's up with you, Farah? You all bug-eyed and shit.
Did you hear that?
She looked at Slade.
He said he couldn't wait to make her his wife.
Mia frowned and looked over at them. She saw a totally different picture. Slade looked like he was verging on suicide, and Coconut was talking to Della. If Mia had to be the judge, the last thing on Slade's mind was fucking with Coconut.
I don't know what you thought you heard, Farah, but he definitely didn't say none of that shit.
He like her, don't he?
Her wild eyes rolled over them.
She's cuter than me.
She looked at Mia.
Look at how clear her skin is.
She looked down at her hands.
I look a mess. I don't know what the fuck is going on in your head right now, but it's the wrong time to be acting up. Keep your cool with this bitch, Farah.
When Farah looked out into the living room again, Coconut smiled at her, but it was softer than the looks she'd given her in the past. Was she not mad at her anymore? She smelled a snake.
I don't like this shit,
Farah told her.
Me either,
Mia admitted.
She got something up her sleeve, but I don't know what just yet. Well, why did y'all let her in? You know I can't stand that bitch. Plus, earlier tonight, Knight approached me outside because of what happened with Rhonda at her baby shower. The last thing I need is her running her mouth about me.
Mia frowned.
What Knight wants with you?
Farah sighed. My life. She shook her head. Has anyone heard from Chloe?
Not yet,
she said softly.
And just so you know, I didn't let that sneaky bitch in here. Your grandmother did. In her mind, it's once a friend, always a friend, no matter how they stab you in the face.
This is not good. Farah shook her head. She wants something.
Outside of what you believe her reason is, why do you say that?
Farah looked into her sister's eyes. There was something she didn't hide from her, just neglected to say. When she was ready, she whispered.
She knows I hit Knox, Mia. She doesn't know his name, but she thinks I killed a man when I ran into him with my car. If it comes out today, I'm gonna die.
Did you see the look in that old bitch's eyes?
When they looked at Della, she was staring in their direction.
She won't go away until she digs his body up from the grave.
Mia shook her head.
I'm not even gonna worry about all that. Shadow and I don't make no mistake when it comes to hiding bodies.
Where'd you put them?
The less you know, the better, Mia said. Besides, I don't want you writing about in them books of yours.
She looked over her.
You are going to stop writing in your journals, right?
Of course, she told her.
scratching her skin. Farrah, I'm serious. She pointed in her face. If Killer would have found the journal instead of the phone, it could have gone worse. Your diary writing days are over. I'm done, Mia. I promise. Good. And don't worry about them finding Knox. We've been buried motherfuckers since we were kids. If they find any bones, they won't belong to him. I hope you're right, because somebody snapped a picture of me and Knox and handed it to me. Farrah murmured. I didn't tell you this, but I met him before he came over the day I killed him. I accidentally hit him with my car. Mia's eyebrows rose. I got scared because he was all bruised and bloodied, and I was texting. I didn't want to go to jail. Farrah cried. So I tried to kill him by placing my hand over his nose. It didn't work, and he survived. My only problem is, I don't know who took the picture. You hit him with your car? She gripped her by her arms and pulled her closer. What the fuck are you talking about? What's the big deal? Farrah, if someone examines that car, his DNA will be all over it. It's gonna lead right back to you. She shrugged her off. Well, that's not gonna happen. How the fuck do you know? Mia sighed. I just know, but that's not what I wanted to tell you. Earlier, when I left to find Eleanor and the kid handed me the picture, Della was behind me. She almost saw it. She started trembling. If she would have seen that shit, I wouldn't be here right now. That's why she was acting so weird when she came back inside. She looked at Farrah's hands. Where's the picture now? In the trunk of my car, Farrah said. I haven't had a chance to get rid of it. She used an even lower voice. Mia felt her stomach swell. Farrah, don't get me wrong. I understand you having to kill him when he showed up here. But why would you run into him and try to kill him when it was your fault? She paused. Mm-mm. You got me worried about you. Worried about me? Farrah laughed. I'm the one who didn't like violence, remember? She pointed at herself. I'm the one who wanted to live and love, but everybody in the house wouldn't allow me to. If anything, I'm the product of the shit that went on with Brownie as our mother. Mia couldn't say shit. Farrah pulled her card, and it was the Ace of Spades. We were all kids back then. I hear you, but worry about me after we get this bitch and everybody out the house. Anyway, how long was she here? She literally just got here before you did. She said something about wanting to talk to you. And when we said you weren't home, Graham said she could wait for you inside. Farrah looked at Coconut again and sighed. Let me go see what this bitch wants. She approached the group. Are you ready to tell us about what happened with Eleanor? Della asked. We've been waiting for a minute. I thought I made myself clear. She wasn't home. Farrah said. Outside of that, there ain't much else I could say. She swallowed. But give me some more time and I promise I'll find out where she is. Farrah looked at Slade and then Coconut. What are you doing here? I have to talk to you about something, Farrah. I didn't know you had company, and I tried to call, but you didn't answer the phone, so I decided to come over. We can do it in private. Farrah rushed toward the door and opened it. Let's talk in the hallway. Coconut grinned and stood up. It was nice meeting everyone. She followed her into the hallway. When the door was closed, Farrah asked, What are you doing here? I can't stop thinking about the baby shower yesterday, and I'm so sorry about everything that happened between us, Farrah. I heard about Rhonda's baby, and I know for a fact it wasn't your fault. Not only that,
Word on the street is that somebody is holding Chloe for ransom. During times like these, you need friends, and that's why I'm here, to offer my support.
Oh, why is your skin so clear?
Farrah desired skin like hers. Coconut, cut the shit. What do you really want? I just told you. I know you're dealing with a lot alone, and I don't want you to go through it by yourself. Coconut grabbed Farrah's hands. I miss you. I really do. Farrah knew something was off, but with everything going on, she couldn't lie. Having someone in her corner, outside of her siblings, didn't sound like a bad idea. Let's do this, Coconut said. Come over my house later on tonight, so we can talk.
How I know you're not here for Shannon, or to get in my business. I know she wants laid.
She stepped back.
For all I know, all this shit could be a setup.
She looked down the empty hallway. You have to trust me, Farrah. If you don't want the friendship, I'll understand. A lot of shit has happened. Some of the things we did to each other can't be taken back. But if you come over later and we speak about it, maybe we can work on it. It's important enough for me to try. I hope it is for you too.
Farrah muttered, okay.
Coconut pulled her toward her body and hugged her tightly.
I'm so happy you're gonna try.
What do you really want, bitch?
Me too.
I'll talk to you later. Coconut waved, smiled, and strutted down the hallway. Farrah watched her until she disappeared into the elevator. She was about to go back inside and deal with the nonsense in her living room, when suddenly, everyone rushed out.
We just found out where Chloe and Audio are, Shadow yelled, grabbing Farrah's arm. Come on, we heading out there now.
Chapter 6. An hour earlier, Audio Baker.
And every grimy thing I did in life, I got an answer for.
Audio and Chloe lay inside of Slade's truck in the bottom of a ditch. The freezing temperatures caused their toes and fingertips to burn, and they were in and out of consciousness. Blood covered everything visible, and both of them experienced unimaginable pain. None of this would have happened had someone not clipped them from behind while Chloe was giving Audio a blowjob. Since they were certain no one knew where they were, in Audio's mind, it was just a matter of time before they died. Audio's mind wondered, but when he realized he hadn't heard his girlfriend's voice in a while, he grew worried. He turned his head slowly to the right because his neck didn't feel connected anymore.
Chloe. You all right?
He asked softly as he looked over at her.
Get up, baby. You can't go to sleep.
When she didn't respond, with all of his strength he could muster, he raised his arm and slapped her in the face. His hand slid off of Chloe's nose and fell to his side.
Chloe, wake the fuck up!
When she didn't budge an inch, his heart bubbled.
Don't do this shit to me, he demanded. I need you, Chloe.
He looked out of the darkness before him.
You can't do this.
It seemed like an eternity, but finally, she opened her eyes. A large piece of glass from the windshield pierced the flesh of her hip, and the torture reminded her that she was about to die. Blood ran down her sides and onto the floor at her feet. When she looked at his face, she wished he hadn't wakened her from death.
I wasn't in pain anymore. Why did you wake me?
You can't do that again, Chloe. You gotta stay up.
We gonna die, aren't we?
She cried softly.
I don't wanna die.
Then don't say it again. You stronger than this shit. But you gotta stay up. Somebody gonna find us, he said to himself,
although he doubted it was true. She laughed, even though nothing was funny at the moment.
Who gonna find us? Nobody knew where we went, Audio.
We've been out here all night and day, and we still alone. So don't tell me something just because it sounds good. I'm gonna die. And you dying with me.
I know my people, and they gonna come looking for us. Plus, I prayed on it.
Audio wasn't a religious man. He moved how he wanted, said what was on his mind, and took whatever he wanted. All that said, if there was one thing Southerners believed in, no matter how they carried on in life, it was that God existed. Unfortunately for him, the bitch he chose to share his life with came from a family of vultures and believed in the opposite. Audio and his brothers participated in nonviolent crimes, but the household Chloe was raised in saw violence daily.
"Since when are you so religious?" she asked, trying to move around for comfort.
"We do a lot of stuff together, Audio, and I never heard you pray for anything but this pussy since I've known you." "I can't believe you said pray and pussy in the same breath."
At that moment, there was a small spot of hate in his heart for her.
"And for your information, I believed in prayer all my life. Just because you grew up in a fucked up house don't mean I did. You gotta watch how you talk to me, Chloe. I'm a real nigga."
Chloe laughed again.
"Whatever the fuck. You still haven't answered my question. How you gonna be religious when you smoke, drink, and get high all day?" "You know better than me."
She touched her side, and her heart rocked when she felt glass sticking out of it. It pricked the tips of her fingers.
"Fuck!"
She screamed in pain.
"You all right?"
He looked over at her.
"I'm fine. Don't try to skip the subject."
He didn't feel like discussing religion with her, since it was obvious she didn't respect it. But if talking about it would keep her mind off of her situation, he would take one for the team.
"I said I believe in God, Chloe, but I never said I was religious. Religion ain't shit, but a way of doing things. Going to church on Sundays, praying every night, stuff like that. I don't need to do all that to have a relationship with God. I talk to him like he's one of my boys, because he is."
He leaned his head back on the headrest.
"You still a grimy nigga."
Suddenly, he wished Chloe would go silent.
"And every grimy thing I did in life, I got an answer for. All my decisions are on me."
Chloe heard his frustration and started crying. He was her first love and the first man who ever clasped her heart without letting go. She fucked niggas here and there before meeting Audio, but never fell in love with anyone prior to that moment. If they were going to make it out alive, they needed one another.
"I'm sorry, Audio. I really am. I just want to get out of here so bad. I want to see my sisters again and my brother. I want to hug my mother and my grandmother."
She was crying so heavily, her chest rose and fell rapidly.
"I don't want to die like this. My family won't be able to handle me not coming home."
"I know, babes, but if we don't have hope, we don't have shit. I just need you to stay strong, that's all."
With a heavy sigh, he said, "Try to relax, but whatever you do, don't go to sleep." Another hour passed, and when Audia woke up, he was suddenly warm, and almost every area surrounding the car had an orange glow. When he looked over at Chloe, she looked peaceful and even wore a slight smile, but her eyes were closed. Why were her eyes closed? Like he had last time. He smacked her in the face, but this time she didn't respond. So he smacked her again and again, and still got nothing. When a cloud of gray smoke entered from the floorboard, he knew what was happening. They were about to die by fire.
"Chloe, wake the fuck up," he yelled.
His heart rocked in his chest.
"You gotta wake up, please."
Audio maneuvered his body toward her so he could check her pulse, but he was so weak that he couldn't raise his hands again to feel her. Suddenly, things looked extra fuzzy, and he felt lightheaded. And although the scent of smoke was everywhere, he was no longer in pain. So he leaned back and looked out ahead of him. For the first time all night, he was at peace. After having the fear of life pumped into him, Lollipop cruised down the street on the way to make sure Audio and Chloe hadn't been removed from their living grave. The smoke from the blunt he was pulling on filled the car and made him higher. He was feeling mighty good until he bent the corner and saw blue and white and red lights everywhere in the distance. When he saw the ambulance and the police cars flooding the area where Audio and Chloe went off of the road, he knew it was over. The blunt dropped out of his hand and somersaulted toward his jeans. He knocked it off and slapped at the fire sparking on his clothing. He was so afraid of being burnt that he almost hit an oncoming car. Quickly, he pulled his car over to the side of the road and put out the sparks. As he saw the paramedics working diligently to put Chloe and Audio into the ambulance, he took a few breaths and counted every cop car on the scene. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He stopped his count. Fuck. He contemplated killing them, but there was too many. As he eyed the scene from afar, he hoped that what he told Randy about them being dead would hold weight, but only time would tell. When Audio opened his heavy eyelids, he was in a strange bed, and his family was standing all around him. He never felt more love than he did in that moment. Shit was real, because if he was looking at them, it meant that he was alive, and God came through. Slade stood in the corner, arms crossed over his chest, and a heavy look on his face. When Audio opened his eyes, Slade stood up straight and exhaled. He almost lost another brother, and he felt like it was his fault. They were in D.C. to survive and to keep their family together, yet they were falling apart. Slade stepped up to Audio, put his hand over his, and said, "Don't do that shit to us again." "I'll be back," he stormed out. "What's wrong with him?" Audio asked, watching the door. "He's taking what happened to you hard. That's all," Della said softly. A blessed grin rested on her face. "As a matter of fact, we haven't seen him much lately. He's been working with Willie and putting money up for your hospital bills." She rubbed his hand. "But how are you, son?" Slow tears squirmed down her face. "In any pain?" "I'm fine." He swallowed, and his throat was dry. "But Ma, what are you doing here?" He tried to sit up straight, but every place on his body was tender. "What about Sheriff Kramer? If he finds out you're here, he's gonna have every cop in Mississippi here. It ain't safe. You know that." He looked at Killa and Major. "Why y'all let her come?" "Back in Mississippi, the Baker boys committed minor crimes. When they kept getting into trouble, Della molded her sons and instructed them on how to get away with their illegal activities. None of her boys questioned how she knew so much about breaking the law. But under her leadership, they went from stealing cars and getting into fights to moving small amounts of weed in their town. Their drug operation was getting off the ground until one day, Sheriff Kramer solicited their help when a group of biker boys who called themselves the Killer Bees came through. The Killer Bees committed crimes from rape to murder. A conversation took place with Kramer, the Baker Boys, and Della. And in the end, he deputized the Baker Boys and dismissed all of their past infractions. Everyone except Knox thought shit was sweet. Instead of buying into the sheriff's plan just for a clean record, he taped all of their conversations with the recording device on his phone. Within record time, Della was able to lead the Baker Boys in getting rid of the violent gang. Things were looking up until an official officer killed another officer while aiming at the last member in the gang. Instead of accepting responsibility, the officer convinced Sheriff Kramer to blame the crime on Knox and his brothers, and to lie and say that the Baker boys were committing vigilante justice without his knowledge. The sheriff agreed, despite all the Baker boys had done for him. There was one problem, which the sheriff became aware of later. Knox had the evidence to prove that he was a liar, and he made the mistake of telling him to his face. He sent everyone with a badge to find them, forcing the Baker boys to have split up to escape conviction. The destination was Washington, D.C., where their cousin Marky resided. Slade drove with audio in his trunk while Major and Killa hitchhiked. Knox opted to go alone since he had the evidence needed to save their lives. He figured one black man looked less dangerous than five. Unfortunately, things didn't go as planned. We found Knox's phone audio, Killa said under his breath. Knox had every conversation we ever had with the sheriff on that thing. We were able to prove that he was involved. We went back to Mississippi and everything, too. This is crazy. Audio placed both hands on the sides of his head. They'd been running so long that he thought it would always be his life. We got a few more things to take care of back home with the law, but for the most part, it's over, Major added. It's not looking good for your boy Kramer, though. They indicted him on all types of shit. We gonna be good, man. Audio grinned. It was the best thing he'd heard in a long while. So you serious? His eyes widened. No more running? They actually caught that motherfucker? On everything we love, that shit is over, Killa said. Slade walked back into the room, and Audio was relieved that he looked a little more relaxed. His family could finally be together, and they could head back down south. A smile spread across his face until he scanned his brothers again. Slade, Major, and Killa were all in the building, but still, something was off. So we still didn't find Knox? It's a long story behind that shit, man. Slade leaned against the wall. Audio's body seemed to deflate. Does Marky know anything? Slade shook his head. Marky has been on an extended vacation, and nobody has been able to find him. It's like he's hiding from something. I bet he is, Killa said, having firsthand knowledge that he met with Randy a while back. So what else is going on? I mean, nobody has seen or heard from Knox? Like I said, it's a long story, Audio, Slade interrupted. And when you better, we gonna give you the whole thing. Now is not the time. If you give him the story, make sure you tell him the part about Farrah having something to do with this shit, Killa offered. As a matter of fact, you can't even act like you going to tell him why Knox is still not with us unless you talk about that bitch. I'm just saying. Slade walked up to Killa and stood against him. He wanted to hurt him badly, but he was family. Fuck that. He was blood. Don't put that out there unless you sure, Killa. His voice boomed. I'm sick of y'all blaming her for shit she might have done. Slade looked at Killa and Major. You niggas worse than the Pearly twins down south. With all this gossip shit. Unless you know it is a fact, I'd appreciate you not bringing her into this shit. Major shook his head in disagreement. I know that's your girl and all, and I kind of respect that shit. But in all honesty, things not looking too good for her. That's why Judge and Grant on their way now. Oh, Judge and Grant coming? Audio asked in a shaky voice. He knew when they came to town, it meant blood. They executed so many people and had so many people looking for them that only a select few had their number. And I said them coming here is unnecessary, Slade said. Now I like Farrah for you at first, Killa said. But the question wasn't answered to the best of her ability just yet.
what was she doing with our brother's phone?
Farrah had Knox's phone?
Audio inquired. He missed so much that he was totally confused.
She told y'all why she had it, but ain't nobody listening?